Let's do this. Get set. Headed for the
open door. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran.
And I ran. Chris Uzinski here on Running Flat Radio. Welcome to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW. And for those of us and everyone who downloads us on iTunes, welcome. You know, it's a fall edition. We're right in the middle of marathon season. This weekend is, of course, a big Scotiabank marathon in Toronto and Detroit. Locally here in the Windsor Detroit market, we have the amazing Detroit Marathon, and joining us in a couple minutes will be the race director for the Detroit Free Press Marathon, the Talmers Bank Detroit Free Press Marathon, Bill Ewing, and kind of giving us an update of what's going on this weekend. And that's in the first part of the show. What's really exciting is we have John Hughes coming online with us, who is the race director for Run Disney, and really the guy behind all endurance running sports at Disney World and Disneyland. So he's going to be on with us around half past the hour and kind of for the rest of the show, and really doing a kind of a feature interview, kind of a perspective on, you know, 20 years of the marathon at Disney World, and then adding all these events. You know, I mean, I did the Goofy in 07. So we're going to talk about what it's like. I mean, they're up to 70,000 participants during that Disney Marathon weekend at Walt Disney World. 70,000 people. Unbelievable. So we're going to talk to John about that and really the whole idea behind the race. He's been with it right since day one, so it should be an interesting talk. And of course, I also want to thank everyone who participated this last weekend and who volunteered and helped out with us, and of course, the City of Windsor as well over at the Zombie Chase. The Zombie Chase had an absolutely stunning evening to actually pull it off. The winds died. The waterfront was absolutely gorgeous. And thanks to all those who you know showed up, got the medal, chased each other around, got all gored up. It was an amazing time. Jeremy Barton won in the men's division for the Zombie Chase, which is a 5K. And Trella Garcia was the winning female for Zombie Chase. She's from Wheatley, and Jeremy is from LaSalle, Ontario. So congratulations to those two. And I know that a number of prizes also went out to best dressed or goriest dressed or worst dressed, or however you want to place it. But Zombie Chase 2014 is done and in the books. And it looks like that's pretty much it for Running Flat for this year, by the way. I don't think we're going to be doing, actually, I know we're not going to be doing Sandy Paws, because we're really, really busy in our planning stages for next year's events. We desperately want to open up, hopefully this week, a number of different races. Canada Day needs to open up. We need to also make an announcement probably next week on who's actually in the final three for the medal of honor for next year's Canada Day race. I can't tell you whose names they are, but we'll announce those probably in the next 2 weeks. I know next week we're going to dedicate a show to cost. Kind of a funny thing happened to me when I was, we were volunteering, a number of us in the crew at Running Flat were volunteering at a Run for a Cure a couple weekends ago here in Windsor. And, you know, I was at the waterfront and I was picking up something on the waterfront trail, and two runners were running by, and one guy was complaining about how Run for Heroes at $80 was an expensive race. I stood up when he was running by it, and I yelled, "No, it's not." And I pretty much shocked him because he knew who I was. And, you know, I think we need to explain that. And we've done some research over the last week or so of all the half marathons kind of around the Great Lakes and all different sizes, too. I mean, so we're looking at Ottawa. We're looking, you know, the big Ottawa weekend. We're looking at Scotiabank, Columbus, Detroit, all the big majors that are out there, and plus all the smaller races, like Dextert Ann Arbor, Ann Arbor Marathon, Forest City in London, and a number of other half marathons around Ontario. We're excluding from this list of costs one of our guests later on in the show, the Disney ones, because they are a very high-end, premium, pretty expensive events. And so is, you know, some of the other majors, whether it's New York or even the Nike Ladies Half Marathon down in San Francisco. So all these little specialty halves, we've kind of pulled those out of the mix. And we're just going to look at competitive halves. And we're gonna do a report up for you next week about what costs are, what the costs look like, you know, if you register early, like you're supposed to, and then what your costs are late in the game, where we don't want you, frankly, to register because we want to be ordering all of our medals and our shirts early and all of our product early and not worrying about that at the very last minute. So that's for next week's show. We're going to deep dive. It's going to be interesting. I guarantee it'll be interesting when you look at all the prices and where everyone kind of comes out on top and who's at the bottom and where the best values are. So it's about quarter after the hour. We'll be right back with Bill Ewing from the Detroit Free Press Marathon. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
Presents One Mesmerized Magician.
Did you just pull a barbecue sandwich out of Wendy's bag?
Yep.
What's the secret to your trick?
Okay, go to Wendy's, find the magic speaker, say pulled pork sandwich, and in a blink, your barbecue will appear.
And then I'll make it disappear.
Exactly.
Barbecue has a new home. Now Wendy's serves slow-cooked pulled pork sauced how you like it. Sweet, smoky, or spicy. And it comes three tasty ways. Layered on poutine, on a juicy cheeseburger, or as a pulled pork sandwich.
Now that's better.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time.
Mittens, hot cocoa, instant traction, all-wheel drive. When preparing for Canada's coldest season, there are some things you just can't go without. Thankfully, the Volvo XC60 SUV has everything it takes to take on winter. Plus, with available features like front and rear heated seats and a heated leather-wrapped steering wheel, you might not even need those mittens. Before the season strikes, take advantage of 0% financing for 5 years on all 2015 Volvo XC60s. Visit volvocars.ca for details and to explore the 60 of XC60.
Ain't it fun? Ain't it fun?
They're really funny. I like their banter. Nice to wake up to something funny in the morning and get the day going.
The Morning Drive.
On the next show, we are on trip number 3. That's right. At 6:50, your chance to guess where the virtual boarding pass is located. In our hide and seek contest, we're going to give you a clue. If you guess correctly, you could win a trip for 2 to Cuba.
And what is the oldest food item in your fridge? Do you pay attention to expiry and Best Buy dates? We'll take your calls at 7:20.
The Morning Drive. Weekday mornings, 5 till 9 on AM 800.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Tonight, showers ending after midnight, then cloudy, a low of 14. Tomorrow, mix of sun and cloud, 30% chance of showers in the afternoon, a high of 19. Wednesday night, mainly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, a low of 13. Thursday, cloudy, 30% chance of showers, a high of 18. Friday, a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 19. Once again, showers ending after midnight tonight, then cloudy and a low of 14. Mix of sun and cloud tomorrow, 30% chance of showers in the afternoon, a high of 19.
CarStar locations are locally owned. We're there at the same ballparks, the same hockey rinks, and the same dance studios. And when it comes to car accidents, we're right there too. From small dings and scratches to glass and collision repair, CarStar does it all. Contact us today. And if you want to talk Little League, we're good with that. With over 160 locations, we make accidents unhappen. Visit carstar.ca.
Visit CarStar at 700 North Service Road in Windsor.
I have a bit of a commute.
The afternoon news.
Keeps people informed.
I listen for traffic reports.
Stay up on topics. Stay up on current issues.
Weekdays 3 till 6 on AM 800. Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Yuzinski. If you're unfamiliar with the show, it's a show all about running. and especially in the Windsor-Detroit market around the Great Lakes. And today is not like any other day that we do on the show. We talk about all kinds of other marathons that are going on and other events that are going on in our community. And the one that I really want to talk about is the one that's happening this weekend. It's not the one up in Toronto. It's the one down here in Detroit with our good friend Bill Ewing, the operational director of the Talmers Bank Detroit Free Press Marathon. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you doing?
Are you not sleeping yet?
Oh, it's been a while. As I always say, it's, in the words of the Beastie Boys, no sleep till Brooklyn.
So tell me, today's Tuesday. So Sunday morning, we've got the marathon going off. How many folks do you got registered?
We have 27,315, to be exact. Last time we talked, we were down a little bit, but we were able to catch up to last year's numbers, save a few folks. So we're very happy that we eventually caught up to last year's pace.
Now, it is completely sold out. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So
it's not really a limitation problem. It's really a case of us being able to get everyone registered and cleared by both governments.
Right. So there is no more registration, so don't show up to Kobo looking to buy a bib and do that stuff or register.
That is correct.
Yeah. So, you know, this is the 36th?
37th.
37th annual Detroit Free Press Marathon. And Running Flat is going to set up a big entertainment area this year on the Canadian side. We did last year by the Cairn Pumping Station on the Detroit River. This year we're going to be closer to the tunnel. And I'm inviting all the listeners out there and all the running clubs out there who aren't running, if you want to cheer on your friends and family, to come join us over by the Visitor Tourism Bureau, by the tunnel entrance. And you know, you can huddle along with us. I'm sure it's going to be a beautiful morning, and cheer all of your friends, families, and neighbors, and all the other 26,000 odd people that you might not even know who are running along with them. So it's always an exciting event to watch.
Absolutely, and we certainly thank Running Flat Radio for joining us this year. It's going to be a great send-off for the folks who are entering the tunnel on their way back to the U.S.
You know that we're just going to be reminding them for 2 hours that they need exact change, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I got to ask you, how many Canadians are involved in this international marathon? Because this is one of the very few international marathons between two countries in the world.
I did check in, and the exact count is 2,260 Canadians, which I'm proud to say that 2,160 of those runners are from Ontario, and in particular, I'm going to guess 80% are from Southeast Ontario. So we certainly thank Windsor and Essex County for the support.
Nice, nice. So and that includes Toronto as well.
Correct.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And how many countries are involved? Like how many people are we going to see from different countries who've flown to see this?
There are a total of 19 countries represented in the race, and believe it or not, Great Britain and Germany have a more participants than about half the U.S. states, so it's surprising.
And do you have every state in the Union this year?
Unfortunately not. We never did recover those people from Hawaii and Idaho, so we're going to work on them early next year and make sure that we get representatives from those two states.
That sounds awesome. So if I'm a first-timer to the Detroit Free Press Marathon, and you know, I'm living in Windsor or metropolitan Detroit, what do I expect that morning, Bill?
Well, Chris, as you know, this is going to be a busy day for us. We've got a Lions home football game this same day, so we suggest that you, if you choose to stay at home in Windsor and you want to come over to the States that morning, that you leave with plenty of time. We will start restricting lanes on the Ambassador Bridge at about 5:30 a.m. We will close the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel at 6:45 a.m. sharp, and it will remain closed until 10 a.m. So the opportunities to cross the border, we start restricting them early in the morning, and of course, cut the opportunity in half as early as 6:45. So I would suggest that you get over here early, and then, you know, enjoy the festivities. We'll start cranking the music early, and hopefully it'll be warm enough where it's not where you won't be uncomfortable, and start the festivities at about 6:30 with the race starting at 6:58 promptly.
6:58. Okay, I was just going to ask that question of it's 6:58 is the start. So for the Canadian side, we should start seeing some runners on the Canadian side.
It should start
7:20.
Yeah, 7:20-ish would be about the right time. And you know, we have an agreement with the tunnel that we have to reopen the tunnel by 10 a.m. So again, we have a bus following the last participant, and you know, if they can't make it, then we strongly encourage them to either pick it up or ride the bus back.
Absolutely, because they have to. I mean,
absolutely.
You need to repatriate them into the United States.
Right.
So the course really comes over the tunnel. They make a sharp turn out of customs when they come off the bridge, onto Riverside Drive.
Correct.
And then they run all the way down Riverside Drive until they hit Goyou.
Correct.
And then Goyou, it's down to Park, and then in the outside of...
Correct. It's an unusual approach, but due to the construction and the change in the flow pattern into the tunnel from the Windsor side last year, of course, Goyou was blocked at Park, and so we are actually going in the outdoor, if you will, and making a 180 degree turn in the plaza once we get through the immigration booths and turn right down into the tunnel.
Right. So I just want to make everyone really clear on this. So what you are doing is, as you're coming down Goyou, you're taking a right onto Park and then a left into the plaza, which
Correct.
Is going backwards to the flow of traffic going into the tunnel.
Correct.
And then going into the tunnel. So you're going through the customs wickets.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, so we'll really, so you don't get freaked out. That's the course, and you don't need exact change. Even though I'm going to tell you that you need exact change, just to freak you out.
I don't even think you have to declare your citizenship.
No, but make sure you don't have any nuclear tests this week.
Right, exactly.
Oh boy. Any other big news with? Do we have any great elite runners that are coming to Detroit this year?
No, you know, a few years back, we made a conscious decision to discontinue our true elite field with the idea that we would take the money and invest in the race and give local runners an opportunity to win the prize money. And it's worked out great. We still attract elite type runners, and certainly we had a young man from University of Michigan in Ann Arbor last year run his first marathon in 2:20:18. So certainly that's an awesome.
What a
time.
Rookie!
Yeah, just a rookie, and he's back this year to defend his title. So it's going to be interesting to see how well he does this year.
Bill, can you explain to the folks who are on the sidelines what the hand crank and the wheelchair divisions are and how they operate?
Right. We've got the largest field that we've ever had in the disabilities division. We have some 45 hand cyclists in the field and three pushrim wheelchairs. And then for the first time, we have about 12 athletes who are running with prosthetics. And they're participating in the international half marathon. So
nice.
We've got about 58 uh, dis- disabled athletes competing. The hand cycles were actually a technology development, if you will, in the early 2000, you know, about 2002, 2003, we started seeing hand cycles.
Mm-hmm.
They are really a geared chair, if you will. They have one single gear, as I understand it. And so they go faster than the what we traditionally call the push rim wheelchairs, which are totally human power.
Right.
They look very similar in structure, but the fact that the chair has the hand cycles have a gear in it, it does make them go faster. In fact, we anticipate that our leader and eventual winner will be cranking at about 3 minutes per mile, which is equates to 20 miles an hour on average. So
that's fast.
That is fast, and of course even faster when we get on the bridge and in the tunnels. So it's a delicate situation. We certainly want everybody to compete, yet we also have to provide a safe environment for everybody involved, and so we do our best to educate them beforehand where the critical turns are and where they need to really slow down to be able to navigate the course.
And Bill, is the disabilities area, is that still in conjunction with the Achilles Foundation and those folks?
Yes, we do have a contingent from the Achilles Freedom Foundation of Wounded Warriors, especially they are sponsored nationally by Chevrolet. And, of course, our Metro Chevy dealers is a big sponsor of the half marathon. So they are well involved in the participation of these athletes, and we welcome that association and the sponsorship.
Oh.
And, but it's not closed. It's not totally limited to those athletes. You know, if it's certainly open to outside athletes if
right.
they want to compete.
What an amazing organization Achilles is, and you
right.
know, hopefully we can dedicate a show on that next year about the origin of the Wounded Warriors and how that's worked into the marathon culture. What an inspiration those guys are.
Right, right.
Love
Absolutely.
Working with them. So anything else new maybe at the finish line this year that people can expect? You know, there's so many of us, you know, who've run Detroit multiple times. You know, we all have our favorite spots, you know. We all have the spots that we still swear about in our sleep.
Right.
You know, like Belle Isle, excuse me, you know, with the wind going against you on both ways.
Oh, absolutely. I know the feeling. I can remember the first time I did Detroit, we did the full loop of Belle Isle. And so it became quickly a love-hate relationship.
It's pretty. It's pretty until the wind kicks up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny that you mentioned Belle Isle because we have been watching very carefully a construction project out there. As you know, then in June, the Detroit Grand Prix Association conducts a Formula One race.
Right.
And for the last couple of years, they've been replacing the track surface, because we did have trouble in the early days with the track surface actually marbling up and making it difficult for the drivers to maneuver.
Right.
So they are in the process right now of repaving that section of the course that is closest to Canada on the south end of the island. We are watching that daily.
Wow!
But they do have at least two lanes fully paved all the way around the track, and hopefully they will finish these last two lanes, weather permitting, in the next couple of days. But they have really been good to us. The Grand Prix Association has kept us in mind
right.
each year with their schedule. And we certainly thank them for it. And I feel certain that we will have a perfect virgin surface to run on this year.
Fabulous. You know what? It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Love the Free Press Marathon. You guys do an amazing job. And we'll be out there on Sunday morning cheering all those 26,000. How many was it?
I believe Kelly's running as a pacer, right?
Yeah, she is. She's running in the half. In the half.
Oh, okay.
Yep, she'll be out there. I think she's running the 220 pacer with Pacer Jim's group there. Absolutely.
Well, we certainly appreciate your support, Chris, and look forward to many years to come.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bill. All the best.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
A four-vehicle crash on the EC Row Expressway this afternoon sent two people to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. One of the victims is a two-year-old. Charges are pending after the crash in the westbound lanes of the expressway at Matchett. A new law in Ontario that starts tomorrow requires residences to have CO alarms near all sleeping areas and in service rooms. Each year, 11 people in Ontario die from carbon monoxide poisoning, and 50 people across Canada are killed. And both campuses at Windsor Regional Hospital have a new program to enhance patient safety. Double-checking patient ID and a greater diligence for hand-washing are the main components of the program. AM 800 Sports, San Francisco edged St. Louis 5-4 at home in Game 3 of the NLCS today. Kansas City is home to Baltimore tonight for Game 3 of their ALCS, leading the series 2-0. Leafs battle Colorado and Toronto tonight. That game is about to get underway. And in junior C hockey, the Essex 73s are hosting Dresden tonight. And Essex up 1-0 in the first period. From the AM 800 Weather Center, tonight showers ending after midnight, then cloudy, a low of 14. Tomorrow, mix of sun and cloud, 30% chance of showers in the afternoon, a high of 19. Wednesday night, mainly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, a low of 13. Right now in Windsor, Essex, 15 Celsius, that's 59 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons to the full 26.2 miles. We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski here. You know, it's always great to talk to Bill Ewing. And don't forget, if you're interested in cheering on and seeing this race happen, you can see us in Windsor at the Running Flat Cheering Station near the tunnel, which is really kind of at the end of the Canadian course as they go into the tunnel back into Detroit. And it happens this Sunday morning. So get down there around 7 o'clock and, you know, come on and dance with us. We're going to have lots of music and lots of cheering, and it's a great way to kind of spend a morning. You know, my next guest on the show, really excited because he and I are actually at a conference in a couple days in Toronto for Athletics Canada, where we're doing a roundtable discussion. And John Hughes is a race director for Run Disney, and he's also the owner of the Track Shack. And, you know, just to kind of give you an idea that, you know, the first Run Disney event happened back in January of 1994, and it was the inaugural Walt Disney World Marathon. And it also had a two-mile fun run. It came to fruition only after John and the Track Shack kind of proposed this marathon to the Disney folks about 2 years earlier. And about 5 years later, he added the half marathon, which was run on the same morning, kind of like we do Run for Heroes, where we have the half and the full go at the same time. And then he finally got permission to run them on separate days, the Saturday and the Sunday, which became the Goofy Challenge, which I did in 2007. I think it started probably in 2006. I think I did the second year I was out. So they now have a half, a five, and a marathon. And the people who did all three events were kind of officially called Dopey. And then fast forward to about 2 years ago, then John added the 10K and then created the official Dopey Challenge. We had the 5 on the Thursday, the 10 on the Friday, the half on the Saturday, the full on the Sunday. That week or weekend, those 4 days combined, is 70,000 registered runners, and that doesn't even count the kids' events. So over the years, John's added the Princess Half in February, the Expedition Everest in May, the Tower of Terror in October, the Wine and Dine in November, and these are all at Walt Disney World in Florida. And then he started doing events in Disneyland on the West Coast, out in Anaheim. And, you know, there's the Disneyland Half that's in September. There's the inaugural Avengers Half, which happens next month. And then there's the Star Wars Half Marathon in January and the Tinkerbell Half in May. What an incredible schedule John has here. You know, John and his wife Betsy also have a very successful running store in Orlando, Florida called the Track Shack. You know, welcome to Running Flat Radio, John. It's a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's great to be here.
Hey, how did you get into running to begin with? Well, let's start there.
Oh, gosh. That's a 40-some-year-old story, backstory. I've been running for 40 years, which I'm really happy I can say that. I got into running in high school, like a lot of people did, and probably for some reasons that a lot of us did at the time, that it was the only sport that we could, or that we were picked for, let's put it that way. But got into sports in high school, ran competitively in high school and college, and came back in from college and decided to, make it my career. I had an opportunity to get on the ground floor of a fledgling running store in 1977. It started, and that was the Track Shack, as you mentioned. And in 78, I became a third partner, and then my wife and I actually in 83 became the full owners. And at during that time, we particularly actually right in the late 70s, we started producing events to promote the store, and then quickly realized with the running boom that business could actually become business of its own, the event business. And that's a real short version, but that was in the 80s, and it kind of just blossomed from there.
So originally it was cross country that really kind of triggered it for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I got into high school cross country, that led into track, and I was fortunate enough that led to me running competitively in college. And then coming back, and I feel so very fortunate that I've been able really to make it my career along with my wife. We've both done that. We both have had passion for running ever since we were in high school, and still do.
Yeah, as a race director, I think we produced I think it's 11 events this year, 10 events this year, and then next year we almost double that in what we're producing in Canada, and it's. I love what Disney has done. I love what you guys have put together down there, because really what you've done is you've taken running to the whole new level, and probably sparked the second generational boom in running, with all due respect. I mean, we talk about in the running industry that there's two separate booms. There's the one that we're in right now, and then there was the early one that sparked Nike and several other of the major brands that came out of that. And without a doubt, what you've been able to do with Disney and making running more accessible and really driving fun into what originally was a very, very competitive and closed sport really changed the face of running, I think, today, and which also opened the door for the Color Run and everyone else who's in here today.
Well, that's interesting that you say that. I think, and thank you. I think we were just a part of a lot that was going on, and I always want to say, because I was good friends with Fred Lebow, who some people may or may not remember, but he was, of course, the New York Roadrunners. He was the race director for New York City Marathon and started it, was the founder from the beginning. And he was such a visionary. I remember we actually had him as our honorary chairman in 1994 for the first Disney Marathon. And I'll never forget one thing he said when we had the boom in the 80s, and we said, wow, this is just incredible. This is amazing. Of course, remember, we had gone at a point, we were just getting out of where it was 85% male, 15% female.
Right.
Thank God it's not that way anymore. But, he said, you haven't seen anything yet. He said, wait till this hits the masses. And he was right. He was absolutely right. And that's what started to happen in the 90s. There's really around the mid-90s, it all kind of started to come together, as you say, for that kind of second bump where you had destination marathons and entertainment marathons. Disney, I always like to say we were the original because we were before rock and roll.
Absolutely.
And then you had rock and roll come on. And at the same time, two things were happening. Charities were getting involved and women were getting into the sport. And that is what took this wave right up into the 2000s. And as you say, we're in this huge wave now to where running has hit the masses. And I truly believe it's become mainstream.
Absolutely. I mean, we put on events, mostly 5Ks, but we have a lot of half marathons, and we also have produce a full marathon. And I guess when I sit back, and my wife is my partner as well, You know, and we kind of sit back and we look at our events and we look at where we want to take the events and where we want to go, not next year, but the year after, or even we have one event that's going right across the country on one single day. You know, and we look at these things and we, let's talk about logistics. And when we talk about these things, we go, you know, who are we designing these for specifically? You know, when we talk about the course entertainment and the themes and the swag, you know, and the great shirts or even the swag that we're always looking for instead of giving a shirt. You know, we're always looking to kind of bring the masses, embrace the masses and bring them in and show people what an amazing bunch of folks runners are and what an amazing sport this is to be involved in. And it's a life-giving gift. It really is to have these friends, to be able to make these accomplishments, to say, I'm going to get out of my bed this morning and I'm going to go for a run because I got to put in that 10 miler this morning. And then actually, you know, cross the finish line and do your first half marathon or do your first 10K, you know, and do you find that with all your other races, because you produce several different types of races, not just the Disney ones, also some more competitive ones. Do you find that, you know, there's the competitive runner, you know, that you have to develop, you know, races for and awards and everything else for, and then you've got the person, the first time walker. And how do you treat that differently when you're developing a course or a theme or a race, you know, where you're really trying to embrace them all and also make sure that you're trying to get numbers in there to make sure that you're actually paying for the event?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and you're right. We, in some ways, it has become a bit more challenging, maybe a little complicated, trying to appease everyone. And we do try to do that because we feel that that is our job, is to really take care of both. For one thing, we still want to promote the elite runner, the top runner, because I think just like in any sport, you have to have your heroes. You have to have your elite runners because those are the ones that inspire the kids and all of us. I mean, who doesn't want to see the fastest marathoner in the world? It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
So we want to continue to promote that. But at the same time, we are looking for the recreational runner, the person that's just doing their first one, and make them feel every bit as comfortable and as welcome in the event as that elite runner would be. And so to answer that, what we really work on is being able to create courses, working with our municipalities. Again, you're right, because we do other events beyond Disney, and we want to make sure that we can find a course, for example, where we can let people go 15 to 16 minutes, maybe even more per mile. If it's a 5K, at least 20 minutes per mile, because that's where a lot of your first timers are.
Yep.
So they can walk and feel comfortable and not feel like they're being rushed off the course.
Yes.
And we welcome them. That's in some ways that's been the future. It is the future of our sport. And you know, and trust me, I know Chris. When did you start running, Chris?
10 years ago.
Year?
12 years ago. Sorry.
So I started in the like 73, mid 70s. I say mid 70s. So I'm really old school. Really old school. So you have to realize I came from that place where it was 85% male running, and everything was flat out, run as hard as you can, competitive.
Fast.
That's all I knew all the way into my open running years through college, because I was still in the 70s in college. So, and so I saw it transition from that to where we are now, and it's been a huge transition. But I will tell you this, you know, every finish line of every event that we're at, and I see it all the time, of course, at the half marathons and marathons at Disney, and I just saw recently a race we did here locally in Orlando in town. We did a 15K in downtown Orlando. And near toward the back of the pack, a young woman was finishing, and she came across, and I could tell she was very emotional, and she was starting to cry. And so I went up to her and of course said, is everything okay? You know, is there anything I can help you with? And she said, you don't understand. She said, a year ago, I weighed 100 pounds more. She goes, I couldn't walk a mile. And today she walked a 15K, you know. So
awesome.
I tell you, that never gets old.
Yeah, it doesn't. And from one race director to the other, I mean, we get in our inbox emails from people all the time saying, you know what? I did your event. I've never run before in my life, and it's changed my life. And it's the most rewarding thing you'll ever get in your life. You know, it's absolutely amazing. You know, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
October's forecast below zero, with a cash back of up to 5% on select models. At Hyundai's Below Zero event, get the 2015 Elantra with 0% financing for 84 months. Plus, get price adjustments of up to $1,200. This is one forecast you don't want to miss out on. Hyundai's Below Zero event won't be around for long. Hurry in before it's too late. Visit your Hyundai dealer or HyundaiCanada.com for details. Dealer may sell for less.
The only open line talk show in Windsor Essex.
Unfortunately, I'm furious about what's going on.
The Lynn Martin Show.
I'm just sick and tired of listening to these people lie to me.
On Wednesday's show, some say it's about time. Others are very concerned the Catholic Church may be softening its stance on homosexuality, divorce, contraception. We'll get your reaction at 11, the mayoral candidates of Leamington.
When you hear about it, don't just talk, react. The Lynn Martin Show, weekdays 9 till noon on AM 800.
The Australian Pink Floyd Show. Set the controls, tour 2014. The biggest and best Pink Floyd tribute show in the world is coming live Friday, October 24th in the Coliseum at Caesars Windsor, featuring music from Dark Side of the Moon, The Wall, Wish You Were Here, and Animals, plus much more. Presented an all-new show. Don't wait. Reserve seats are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. No limit, play within it. Must be 19 years of age or older to attend performance or enter the casino.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Showers ending after midnight tonight, then cloudy and a low of 14. Mix of sun and cloud tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers in the afternoon, a high of 19. Mainly cloudy Wednesday night, 30% chance of showers, a low of 13. Cloudy Thursday, 30% chance of showers, a high of 18. Mix of sun and cloud Friday and a high of 19. Once again tonight, showers ending after midnight, then cloudy, a low of 14. Tomorrow, mix of sun and cloud, 30% chance of showers tomorrow afternoon, a high of 19.
Hi, folks. My friend Gene is going to try and recite all the delicious recipes you could make with Ontario pork. And go.
Pork roast, pork chops, pork shoulder, apple butter, pork loin, pulled pork.
He's got a ways to go, so let me tell you that there's not much you can't do with Ontario pork. For all those recipes, go to ontariopork.on.ca. Keep it going, Gene. You're doing great. And remember, if you want to make sure it's farm fresh, look for the Ontario pork label. Sweet and
sour pork, pork tenderloin. You can now buy a medium Seattle's Best coffee from Max Convenience for just $1. But some people are a little surprised at just how tasty our premium coffee is.
So what? You guys think you're all hot stuff now with your premium coffee? Is it like no tuxedo, no service? Do I have to RSVP for this coffee? Is there a velvet rope around it?
It's just $1, sir, and you'll never wait in a drive-thru again.
Well, la-dee-da. Look at me and my Seattle's Best coffee. You've changed, Max. You've changed.
Get your medium coffee, tea, or cappuccino for $1 at Max today. Max Convenience Store. Need it? Got it, Max.
From the pages of DC Comics.
I'm the eyes and ears, and he's the feet.
A new hero with the power of speed.
You think because you can run real fast that you're invincible? You're not.
And a mission that's personal.
My mother died 14 years ago.
Some things you just have to live with.
Legends run fast. He runs faster.
Game on.
The Flash. All new. Tonight at 8 on CTV.
AM 800.
I listen to you guys every day faithfully because honestly and truly, AM 800 is the best source of news and talk for Windsor.
CKLW. Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yasinski on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Our special guest is John Hughes, race director from Run Disney. And if you're not familiar with Disney's running events, it is probably one of the best running series in the world for marathon, half marathon, 10K. Great destination events. And we were just talking about a number of things. One is, you know, you've been in this business a very long time, John. What have you seen as being one of the biggest changes in the last, let's say, 30 years in running?
Wow. Gosh, there's been several. I think, well, the biggest, the absolute biggest, I kind of mentioned this before, it's because it was so big on so many ways, is when women entered the sport. Because, again, I know I've said this probably the third time now, but thinking about that, it was 85% male, 15% female in the late 70s going into the 80s.
And
it's now...
And sorry, yeah. John, for our Canadian listeners, it's because of the Title IX issue in the United States, correct?
I think that was a huge... Oh, yeah, that was huge, there was without a doubt. But I think there was... It's like often, there's more than one thing. I think it was that. I think also in the early, mid-90s, the charities really came on strong and started using, if you will, the particularly the longer-running events, in particular the marathon, as fundraisers. And let's face it, the majority of the fundraisers were female. And suddenly they had a cause attached as well. And so we saw this dynamic shift where suddenly it was, 30%, 40%. And I remember when we're like, oh my gosh, we're at 50%. Well, guess what? Most half marathons are now roughly 60% female, 40% male. And the reason I stress this so much is because not only did it help the event grow enormously, I mean, now you had a whole another, segment of the population that was participating, but it also helped every aspect of the running industry, particularly retail. And you can see that in the retail stores and how well they've done. We now had a whole other shoe wall to sell. We now had apparel and all types of apparel that were aimed for, the women. And as we know, once again, women will purchase more. In fact, they not only buy for themselves, but they'll buy for their husbands or boyfriends. So the women coming into the sport was, to me, the one single largest change that has happened over the last 30 years.
Wow. I've been to Anaheim with my wife, and you once did a marathon at Disneyland.
You remember that, huh?
Yeah.
One and done.
Well, yeah. And there was a reason why Walt left California was because he was landlocked. So I how did you pull off a marathon in Disneyland?
Well, first, let me be honest. We helped consult initially because they saw the success of the Disney World event in 94. But they brought in a group in California, which made sense, to produce that for them. But as you mentioned, and particularly back then, they were really landlocked. They didn't even have the land to build California Adventure, which they now have two parks. They only had Disneyland. And so virtually, I would say 24 miles of the race was run outside of the park. Total opposite of Disney World, where all 26 miles are run inside the Disney World property. We go through all four parks and so forth. So, it was a nice tour of Anaheim. And actually, there were some challenges. There was that something did, unfortunately, go wrong with the event that day. And it was a one-year gig, 1995, yeah.
But it must...
So, but from there, but that went into later that, we were... Several years, it's been, I think, 9 years now we started the Disneyland Half, and that's been all the half marathons we've done at Disneyland have been wildly successful.
Yeah, I think starting with the Princess Half, right? Was that the first one you had?
Well, Princess is at World, Princess is Disney World, but we started with the Disneyland Half.
Okay.
Yes, all the half marathons have been very successful on both coasts, but in particular with Disneyland, right from the start, the Disneyland Half Marathon, and now we have Avengers, Star Wars, and Tinkerbell. And all of them are very popular.
I mean, let's just so the listeners totally understand what's going on here. I mean, the idea behind the Disney marathons and having them the second or the first real full weekend in January is really to fill that park back up. Since there's vacancies, you can actually put people in there and hold an event. That's the reality, and it's such a wildly successful event now. That your events sell out very in really short order. I mean, I remember for Goofy in 07, I think it sold out in one day.
Oh, yeah. So does Dopey. Actually, Dopey sells out in a few hours, which is crazy. That's running all four events, and it's 7,000 spots, and they sell out very quickly.
Wow.
Believe me, that's been amazing even to me. And I know how popular our events are, but that's just... really kind of blows my mind. It's kind of interesting to see that people are so into the challenges now. That's been a whole another world. And But yeah, that, and the halves, you know, that is definitely where things are going. That, you know, we only have the one marathon. If you look at all of our events, nine events now, only one of them is a marathon. The other, the others are half marathons, that's actually a 10-miler, actually kind of an interesting combination. It's basically a scavenger hunt and 5K run that we do called the Expedition Everest that we do at Animal Kingdom at Walt Disney World. So, yeah, all of them are half marathon or below except for the January event.
Really quickly, what's next for you guys? Can you maybe tell us a little bit about what you guys are working on?
Oh, that's the one interesting thing working for Disney. They are very... we're really not allowed to say.
I can assure you the mouse is not listening.
Well, let me just say, I can tell you, here's what I can say.
Okay.
Is that there are probably going to be some things on the horizon internationally.
Yeah.
In particular, Europe. And that, because as you know, Disney has properties throughout the world.
Certainly.
And that there will be, eventually there will be some additional events on both coasts in the future. I am not allowed to say what they are at this time, but they will happen.
That is awesome. You do an amazing job, and I'll tell you, Disney to me in the running world is like the grand ambassador to really, because seriously, it's fun. It's awesome. You bring your family, you stay in a cabin, you get on a bus at 4 o'clock in the morning to go on the start shoot. I mean, it's all taken care of for you. It's really the level as a race director that we aim towards to make sure that, you know, that we're doing our jobs properly is to look at your customer service and the way things are handled, and you do a beautiful job of it, and it's an honor having you on the show.
Well, you're very kind. I can just say I know all event directors work extremely hard, and really virtually most of them do a phenomenal job, and I mean that sincerely. Well,
we're always trying, man. We're always trying. And thanks for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you in Toronto later on this week.
Yes. We'll see you soon.
Thanks. All the best.
Thank you, Chris. You too.
You are listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW. We'll join you next week, but on the way out, we still got to do our song of the week. It is Nine Inch Nails, and it's Come Back Haunted on AM 800 CKLW.